before I ever preach on anything, because after 36 years, what can I say that I haven't already said at some point in time? And about Christmas time, that is, about really, I guess about everything. But anyway, I was going through this passage in Luke chapter 1 and began thinking that that if you want a miracle in your life, there's a process. It's wonderful when God just drops a miracle, isn't it? Amen. It's just awesome when He does. But most of the time, miracles are the result of a process that's been going on in our life more than just God just dropping something in our lap. And so I saw something in this that I hadn't seen before. And so I thought I would share with you what I thought. In verse 28 of Luke chapter 1, it says, and the angel came, it says in verse 26, it says, in the sixth month of the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. Which I would imagine is quite understandable. Have an angel just appear to you. If that's what happened. He could have been walking around the corner. Could have been walking up the street. Right? And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. There's a couple of things in here I thought would be worth being reminded of, or perhaps the first time you've ever heard it. And it's in verse 30, angel said to Mary, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And I decided to do some research on that simple phrase, found favor with God. And I found out that the word actually means to seek after something. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always read through here thinking, well, God just conferred upon her favor. And found out that that's really not the true definition or use of the word. In other words, what it says here, without us having thought a whole lot about it, is that Mary was a seeker. Mary just wasn't some young woman who wound up being confronted with or introduced to an angel and told she was going to have the Messiah, the child of God, the Son of God. Now, if you've ever done any historical research during this time, that for a number of generations, there was just a tremendous movement through Israel at this time. People who were looking for the Messiah, they were primed and ready. People said, why did God choose for Jesus to come when he did? Because he knew the way the people were. The people were primed and ready for a Messiah. So when Jesus came and lived among them, as we know that he did, he tapped in or connected with that spirit, that attitude in the hearts and minds of many people throughout the region, that they were looking for a Messiah. The problem for them was that Jesus came to introduce a kingdom that was different than the one that they thought he was going to offer. And of course, this promise here is that he's going to come and ascend to the throne of David his father, which in and of itself says that God is going to restore the nation of Israel, or the nation of Israel and the kingdom of David's throne, and going to whoop up on everybody, and everything's going to be great. Of course, as Jesus told Caesar, what was that?
It was a sneeze.
Huh?
A sneeze.
A sneeze? Oh, it sounded like a dog barking. We're not talking about my sneezes.
When you're up there, they think
this is being recorded. I want you to know that, okay? But as Jesus told Pilate, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then my followers would get up and fight for it. And so the thing is then that Mary was a seeker. And as I was meditating on this this today, I was thinking, I wonder how many of us, we know the scripture, but Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things we seek for will be added to it, or we desire will be added to our lives. And Mary found favor. It just wasn't arbitrarily conferred upon her, but she found favor. I was reading the life story of Catherine Kuhlman one time, and she quoted in there, she used to have a lot of men come in, and a lot of men speakers, preachers come in and sit down and talk with her. And there was, according to what she said, that there was an ongoing desire for these men to find out why she has such an awesome move of God's Spirit in her life and ministry, and so many other well-meaning men did not. And he said, she said, her response was, well, you need to know the length of time that I spend seeking God. And which always made sense. But if you look at it in terms of Mary receiving her miracle, or experiencing this miracle, before the miracle ever showed up, the miracle was in response to a heart that was running after God. I think sometimes the great and awesome things we want from God seem to elude us because we're seeking after the thing we want rather than seeking after God. And it says here that she had found favor with God. Another way to say that, and be true to the Greek, is that Mary, you have found the favor you've been seeking for. Now the question we need to ask ourselves, are we really seeking for favor from God? Now it doesn't matter how much faith you exercise, you can have faith to move mountains, or faith just as small as a grain of a mustard seed, and fail to realize that doesn't matter how much faith you've got, it's always grace. Hello? We in the faith, dealing with faith teaching, we sometimes like to think of the answers and somehow as a result of, we stood by faith. Well, praise God. Stand in faith. Believe God for the supernatural. But even when you stand in faith and believe God for the supernatural, when the supernatural shows up, it's still grace. Never lose sight of that fact. that yes, God responds to our heart, God responds to our praying, and he tells us to have faith in God when we pray, and that'll bring about the answer. But it's not our faith that makes it happen. Our faith is a precursor to an environment in which God bestows his grace and brings about the miracle. Never forget, it's grace, 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 grace. Expects discipline out of us, expects us to walk a holy life, expects us to be faithful people, but it's still grace. Still grace. And so as I was looking at this, I thought, well, maybe sometimes the miracle we're looking for doesn't come like we like it or in time that we would like it because we just kind of expect God to do it rather than just seek his favor, just to seek his face, just to seek his presence. Not for the purpose of getting something, just to spend time in the presence of the Lord. Amen? As we go through here then, it says that Mary doesn't question the truthfulness of what the angel says. She just wants to know, well, how will this happen? Seeing that I've never had a relationship with a man, so how's this going to happen? And of course, the angel tells her that the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow her. But what I was thinking, if we consider, just follow my line of thinking here, that the result of the miracle is a process, then the first thing we need to do is program ourselves so that we're just seeking God's favor. I just want your favor, Lord. I pray that over my kids all the time, especially my son, because he's in ministry and working in a huge church, and he's just a kid and got people there that are twice as old as he is, and he's the executive assistant pastor and you know, managing all this stuff. And of course, I mean, I just pray, God, just bestow favor on him. Now, it doesn't come because I pray it, but I'm part of the process of favor coming to him, and God has really given him a lot of favor where he's at. But the point being is that I pray all the time for myself, Lord, I'm receiving your favor. I want God's favor. I want God's favor above everything. Because his favor opens the door to everything. Amen? And if you're asking for his favor, you're not presuming that you've got a right to it. Because favor is another word for grace that is unmerited favor. Okay? And so number one then is we need to at least program our thinking that God, the biggest thing I want is I want favor from you. Then the second thing is when the word came, she accepted it without questioning it. And I wonder how many times when we sit down and read the scripture and we read a promise in the word or we read something that God says that he will do for his kids, his covenant people that of which we are. See, we really know too much. We got too many smarts in the church today, because we've learned that over the years, and people that have forgotten a whole lot more than I would know. We've listened, we've read, we've researched. And the bottom line is that we recognize that the Bible was written by people. And God inspired them to write what they wrote. So we, by faith, receive it as a word from God, as God's word. But he really used people to do it, right? And sometimes I wonder if we fail to approach the scripture that this is God speaking. How many times in the process of our reading we read the Bible throughout the year and we read words and sometimes the words are just words. How many of you have caught yourself reading the Bible and learning things? Hopefully every time, right? But have you ever stopped to think that when what you're learning is the Holy Spirit of God is breathing words to your heart that you're reading off of a page? That you're just not reading words. And in our human mind, we know how to process words. And these abstract words take on life because of how they filter through into our personal experience. That's why words mean one thing to another, one thing to one person, and something different to another person. Because we all relate to language through our perspective on life. And sometimes we make the mistake of sitting down and reading through the scripture because we're reading through the Bible. Right? And the fact is that you're not just reading through the Bible. You're reading a book that God imparted to men. And that book is literally His God-breathed revelation of Himself. And so, when you read a scripture like, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's Jesus talking. He's breathing life into you. And so the interesting word is that we've talked about the Logos and the Rhema of God and how that the Logos is the written word of God, but when the Holy Spirit takes and causes it to come alive, it becomes a Rhema. And that's the word that she used here. She said she received the Rhema of God, and all of a sudden this woman who's seeking God, all of a sudden God says He responds to her at the point of her seeking and tells her, you know what? I'm going to perform a miracle in your life. And you know what she said? Okay, I can buy that. But you see, it wasn't the word of an angel. It was the word of God. And I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. When you sit down and read this book, Lord, don't help me to receive the word of the Lord, not just words on pages. Because the word of God is what will change your life. The words in this book are important. But you know, the world quotes the Bible. And look how they live their lives. But when the word becomes a rhema of God, it'll change your life. All right? Then the third thing here, he said that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Now, I find it interesting when you think about this idea of being overshadowed. There isn't any relative experiences in our life to compare with what he's talking about. The word overshadowed, two primary places that it's used is in Matthew, when it says that when Peter, James, and John were with Jesus on the mountain, it says that a light overshadowed them, and Jesus was transfigured in their presence. Remember reading that? Now, have you ever thought about that? I mean, here's the physical human Jesus, all of a sudden, deity is manifested in His flesh. The God who He was overpowered the limitations of the flesh, and He stands there talking with Moses and Elijah. All of a sudden, these guys literally saw a window into the eternal qualities of heaven. Does that make sense? So when the cloud overshadowed them, in the Greek language, it literally means it became a shade. Now, how many have ever been in a welder's workspace when he's welding? Now, obviously, you can't look at the arc because it can hurt your eyes. But just standing away, and as he's doing that, How many shadows are cast all over the place? Because that light is so extremely bright. And so what I envision is as that when the cloud overshadowed them, it was actually just the darkness of the human light compared to the brilliance of the eternal light. Does that make sense? And that what Matthew is describing, what someone may have seen if they were standing off, because they couldn't see through the light because it was so bright, like looking into the arc of the welder, but yet on the inside of that domain, inside of that environment, eternity was coming to pass. Something eternal was happening. The physical body of Jesus was changing into the supernatural body of Jesus. Oh, that excites me. It excites me. The other place that this word is used is when it says that Peter was walking through Jerusalem, remember? And his shadow overshadowed them. And it says, what happened? The people were healed. Was it the shadow that healed them? No. It was the glory of the Lord on the inside of that shadow that was so bright that people saw a shadow. But if you could have stood within that, you'd have seen the light of God's eternal power being displayed and people were being healed. Amen. Oh, I love it. Amen. Now, the same Greek word that's used in both of these places is used here, where he says that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And he says, and that holy thing we shall be called the Son of God. So when the word that was spoken to her, which was God himself, in that creative power of this cloud of light, She conceived the Son of God in her womb. Now, that is beyond human understanding, but it's simple in terms of eternal qualities because God said it and that made it so. Amen. Now, all that to say this, that the process then of seeking His favor and finding it, receiving the word as the awesome voice of God, not just a book, provides the opportunity for God to overshadow us and cause the word that's been sown in our heart to conceive and take on life of whatever nature of the seed might be. So whether it be salvation of a loved one, or whether it be healing for your body, or there be need, whatever need in your life that may come, the process will work if we'll follow through it. I believe it's a model that we can use to say, okay, God, if I've got a miracle that I need in my life, before I even think about the miracle, Lord, I'm gonna fashion my life to where that truly I'm a seeker of your divine favor. And I'm gonna start looking at the word and receive it as the word of the living God. Not just ideas, not idealism, not religion, but the voice of the living God. And then I know that in your timing, in your perfect timing, you're gonna cause the light of revelation and the light of creative power to overshadow my life. Other people will think I'm crazy because they can't see through it. You see, the people can't tell what's going on because they're looking in the natural. But on the inside of that cloud, man, the glory of God is being poured out upon your life. And you're seeing into eternity and the realities of heaven are becoming a reality here on the earth. Oh, Jesus, help us. Wow. Oh, man. And then she says in verse 38, well, the angel said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. But the Greek says this way. Every word of God is filled with the necessary power to come to pass. You see, our English language messes this verse up bad. The word nothing should be translated word, because it's logos. So he says, no logos, no word of God shall be void of the power that's necessary to bring it to pass. So every word of God, every word of God that's a revelation in your heart. You see, sometimes I'm not nice to people, but I have these people always want to prophesy over me, tell me stuff, you know, and then they want me to somehow make the prophecy come to pass. And I said, wait a minute, you don't understand what you're talking about. If you've got a word of God for me, I don't have to make the word of God come to pass. That prophecy should be filled with the power of God for it to come to pass. So every word that you come to terms with in the Scripture is filled with the power to bring it to pass. So you see, we don't make the word work. We receive it on this end, and the word works. Because God brings it to pass, not you. Then I love what she says. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy rhema. And the word be it is a Greek word genomei, which means to cause it to come to pass according to what you said. She didn't say, oh my, I got to make this come to pass. I got to do something to make this happen. No, she'd done all she needed to do to make it come to pass. She was a seeker and a runner after God. That's all she needed. From that point on, it was all God. See, it was God. She ran after the favor. She found it. And it was God who gave her revelation of the word. It was God who overshadowed her life with the power of his Holy Spirit. It was God who promised her, no word that is given to you will be empty or void of the power to come to pass. And then lastly, she said, okay, then you cause it to come to pass. And she took off and went to go see her cousin. She was so impressed with that, she sat right there and just waited for it to happen. Nah, she went to go talk to her cousin because the angel told her that she had never been able to have children, which she obviously probably knew. And here's this old woman who gets pregnant. That's why John the Baptist had such a vital role in Jesus' life, because they were cousins. And when I think about that, I thought, God, you put such treasured stuff in the Word. If we could just spend some time, dig it out. Now, Lord, help me to apply it. Help me to practice what the Word says. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this special time of year that we can celebrate you and celebrate the miracle of Jesus coming. Lord, help us to be as Mary. Help us, Lord, to recognize that we have been given favor because of Jesus. But we need to seek that favor. In the same way that you gave us the kingdom when you came, you told us to seek the kingdom. So Lord, all these wonderful blessings that have been given to the church, Lord, they're ours. Jesus said that the glory he had with you from the beginning of the world, he said he gave that glory to the church. Lord, if we've been given that glory, why aren't we seeing that glory? Because, Lord, we need to seek you and to seek your glory and to seek your favor as Mary did, Lord. And, Father, the outcome of her seeking your favor, seeking you, changed the world. Lord, may we seek you with that same passion and experience a supernatural change of our lives, just like you would want us to experience. Bless your people tonight, Father. May we move into to the center of the Christmas season, seeking your favor, experiencing, Lord God, the revelation of your word. Experience the covering of your Holy Spirit to bring about the creative power of miracles in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.